We're reading from the 15th chapter of Genesis, the first six verses. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and God counted it to Abram for righteousness. We'll end our reading there. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Dear God, we pray now that we will be settled and still before the Word, and that, Lord, we would have an open heart. Give me, I pray, thy Spirit in abundance, power. For I am weak, Lord, of myself, and I need thy help. And therefore I pray for that unction from heaven. I pray, O God, that I will know thy strength in speaking the word of God. For I want to speak clearly, plainly, so that no one will misunderstand. The word will come by the Spirit of God like a sharp arrow to the heart of each one. Dear Father, speak to us who are saved by grace. Speak to us that we might know thy hand on us for good. Dear Lord, speak to those who are still unconverted, those who are still outside of Christ, those perhaps that have looked back over this year and have seen much waste. They have seen much that has gone wrong. Oh Lord, we pray that we might turn our hearts and our eyes upon thee by faith. So dear Lord, come near and help us. We ask these things in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. If you were in our service in January of this year, you will be reminded that this text of Scripture is what I read to you as our motto for 2013, leaving you the words that are found by way of promise that God gave to His servant in verse number 1. Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, as a pastor, it is my prayer for you that you will progress spiritually in your life. I'm praying for you. As I often encourage you to reciprocate and pray much for your pastor so that I will be empowered by the Lord, I will be directed by God to bring to you the message of the Lord that will be exactly what you need by the Lord's Spirit to help you, to govern, to strengthen, to encourage you in your spiritual walk. My desire for you is that you will grow to become more quickly conformed to the image of Christ, so that you will deepen in your relationship with Him, and so that sin's grip upon your life will be loosened, and that you will have a willful determination to follow the Lord with all your heart, that your will be submitted in obedience to Him, and that we will together joyfully love Him and joyfully serve the living God. But right there, and after having said that, as you in your own heart look back over 2013, maybe you have to say, this has not been my experience. I have not felt that I have gone on with God. There has been a degree of uncertainty or of being upset or of trial and tribulation that has brought me to the point where things are actually getting harder, getting more difficult. I'm losing my vision. I'm losing my heart for the things of God. My heart is like stone cold. Believer, is that the way you feel? You're not alone. But don't be encouraged in the fact that you're not alone. Don't ever be satisfied with the fact that you're in this doldrum of spiritual life. Never become content with your lack of progress spiritually. But rather cry out to the Lord and pray that He will govern, He will oversee, He will redirect your life, your family, because you need to be on track with Him. If your life is not on track with Him, then friend, you're out of step with the Lord. And if you're out of step with God, you will not know His blessing upon your life. And so we need to pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me from the circumstances of my life, for my family, for my future. But most of all, Lord, teach me so that I might learn more of my Redeemer, that I might know more of Him. Because, friend, the closer that we are to the Lord, the more our life will radiate His beauty, will radiate His power. The Lord said to Abram, Abram, fear not, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And you know, this promise that the Lord gave to His servant, it followed the events of the 14th chapter where there was an attack that had come against Sodom and Gomorrah. Chedorlaomer was the head of the United Nations, and he was over all those nation states, if you like, at that time. And Sodom and Gomorrah had refused to pay the tribute to him, so he sent his army and he attacked them. And he stripped the land of all the back taxes, we could say. And along with that, he took Lot and his family, who were living in Sodom at that time, Lot, the nephew of Abram, and he took them captive. And so Abram, he armed his 318 servants in his own household, along with the Amorites, the Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner, and they pursued and conquered Chedorlaomer, and they recovered all the spoil, including Lot and his family. And when Abram was returning back, the king of Sodom met him, and he said, give me the souls that you have recovered and take all the spoil, the good for yourself. But Abram said, I will take nothing that belongs to you. You take all of your people and you take all the spoil. Only the men who are with me, they may take their wages from that spoil. But I will not take one thing from you. Because Abram knew the wickedness of the king of Sodom and over those nations. And he would not be enriched by them and by the prophets of iniquity. This shows you a little snapshot of the character of Abram. He was a man of principle, a man of integrity, a man who was governed in his life by that principle and not by greed. Because you stop and think for a moment, the spoil that would have been amassed, that he would have recovered at that time. Abram was a rich man already, but he could have been made much richer as a result of that. But he was not interested in that. He was interested in one thing only, and that his life would be to the honor and the praise of his God. And yes, it was after these things that this word came from the Lord to him. And I want you to think with me again today about God's presence with you over this past year. How have you seen His presence with you? How have you known the protection of God upon your family, upon you as an individual? How have you known the provision of God in your life? Because this is what is entailed in this promise that God spoke to His servant at that particular time. So note with me, first of all, the presence of God with His servant. He said, "Fear not, Abram, for I am." Yes, I am. There is no doubt that Abram was fearful after this. How do I know that? Because God told him not to be afraid. And when the Lord comes to His servants and He tells them not to be afraid, there's a reason, because it's quite possible that Chedorlaomer, those nation states, would have regrouped themselves and come back to do a second attack. And Abram would have wondered, will I be able to stand against this army that will come against me again? No, friend, the fact is that Abram was just a man. He was a man of faith, there is no doubt. But as many men of faith can also be overcome by fear at times in their life. And you are people of faith. And we are people of faith walking through this world, and the devil will often use the attack of fear to undermine us. And yet the Lord comes to us with this word of encouragement, "Fear not," and put your name in the place of Abram. What have you feared over this past year? Perhaps it's been the threat of sickness, or maybe it has been that report that you have received about something that you feared would come. That report and that sickness that has come, and now you have to deal with this. And it's not quickly going to go away. And friend, whatever it is that is bothering you in the sickness of your body, or of the thing that you might fear is going to come down your pathway, as we age, we get older, our health diminishes, yet the Lord comes to you today and He says, in your health concerns, fear not. The Lord has been with you over this past year. He is guided. He is directed, but His sovereign hand and His sovereign purposes have allowed things to take place in our lives. And it's not that we are running without the Lord's knowledge of where we're going and why things have happened to us. We are under the oversight of God. The Lord knew all about Abram. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. He knows our every concern, our every sickness. But you might also be afraid of family issues. Some are going through some very difficult times right now. And family issues and concerns, whether it is husband and wife issues, or parent and children issues, or even parent and grandparent issues, there can be many concerns that mount up. And it seems so complex. And it seems there's no way out of it. Friend, the Lord knows all about this. And He would say to you, in your fear and in your wondering if the whole thing's just going to crumble and fall apart, He says to you, "Fear not, for you are in the hand of your sovereign Lord." And He knows all that is going on in your life. But the devil also brings against us the fear of failure. There's a term in the education world called the risk of learning. The risk of learning. Sounds rather strange. What does it mean? It really means when someone is afraid to try something new for fear that they will fail in the thing they put their hand to do. And so it's called the risk of learning, or it's the fear of trying something. And that fear of trying is because we're afraid that we'll fail. And we look back in our own life and we see enough examples to fill the sheet where we have failed. The Lord says to us, as He did to Abram, in the time of our weakness, fear not, for I am. It is God who is saying and speaking these words. What about the fear of the future, whether it's in your family, yourself, of what's going to happen to you? Is your job secure? Are you going to have enough for retirement? There is a lot of instability in our economy today, we know that. And you really can't be sure of anything anymore, if you ever could have been. But for the believer, the future is in the hands of God. And our trusting, our faith is going to be engaged when we call upon the Lord and we put our life in His care. And He says to us, do not be afraid. But what about the future of the church itself? There are some people who put forward that the church age is finished now and the idea of the local congregation or church is really finished, that God is finished with the church, and that it's only time for house meetings or smaller gatherings of people. Well, friend, again, we must come back to the Word of God and not be governing ourselves or operating under principles that we feel are right apart from the Scripture. The Lord says He will keep His church. I will build My church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And He is building His body, His people. And as long as the New Testament organized church is here, faithfully trying to follow the New Testament order, we are to continue and we must persevere. But what about this church? What about where we stand today? And looking back over the past year, let me say to you as a pastor, I am very concerned about this ministry. That would not surprise you, I'm sure, because you look upon a pastor and the elders of the church, well, that's their responsibility, right? They are to be concerned about these things and yes, about the future of the congregation. Because if we look back over the past year, there are some people who are not in their seats that were here at the beginning of January. They have gone. They have moved on. Their places are empty. And from a pastoral point of view, that is a big concern to me. I take that personally. I take that to my heart. And I wonder, Lord, have they left because they're dissatisfied with ministry? Dissatisfied with the pastor? Dissatisfied with the eldership? Dissatisfied with the direction the church is going? Yes, friend, these are real concerns. And I take them very much to my own heart. And I am praying and asking for the Lord to revive our souls, to revive our ministry, to pour out His blessing upon us, and to try the best that we can to minister to the needs of individuals, of all of you, individually as families, and as we unite as a body of Christ, children and people here in this vicinity. So these things are a concern. But what does the Lord say to us in all these things? Because no one comes to this place because they are forced to come. We wouldn't want that. No one comes under duress, we trust. But you're here because the Word of God is faithfully preached. And if the word of the Lord is not faithfully preached, well then, open the door and I'll be the first one to go out. No, friend, we need to be careful about these things. We want to hold the Word of the Lord in the highest esteem. We want to open the Scriptures, and as a pastor, that I might feed you by the Lord's grace and through His Spirit from His truth, so that your heart will be warmed and that you will go on with God. Pray with me to that end. But these things are a concern. What does the Lord say to us? He says in the midst of this, friends, fear not. Fear not, for I am. There's fear on every side, Jeremiah said. The Apostle Paul said, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Yeah, the great apostle knew this. He knew what it was to have difficulty, and he was burdened, he was concerned, he was troubled. He knew that there was attack against the cause of Christ. He knew that within there were grievous wolves that would come up and try to rend the flock. There were false teachers that would try to get into the New Testament church in the body of Christ at every era and age. And so he said, these are great fears and problems. And it may be, friend, that your fears are not only outward, but they're inward. And they're causing you to have great worry, great distress. Well, let us emphasize again that our distresses and our worrying is not of God. Because worry never produces anything positive for us. It only hurts us. And it causes us to doubt the Lord's goodness in His hand. And it causes us to wonder and not progress forward. But why should we be so comforted by these simple words, fear not? I'll tell you why. Because in our text, it is the God of heaven who Himself has said these words, fear not. And He, the one who has created all things, who is the supreme governor, the supreme comforter, the one whose presence removes all fear and it gives peace. This is what He says to us. The eternal, ever-present God. He is the unchangeable, the almighty Lord of heaven and earth. And this is the Lord who delights. Friends, He delights to make Himself known to men. And whatever makes us afraid or stressed out, I say to you again today, bring that to the Lord, and He will comfort our troubled hearts, and He will give us joy by His divine presence. I am with thee, the Lord says. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We have God's presence with us. But secondly, we have His protection and His care, for He says, I am thy shield. The God of my rock, David said, in Him will I trust. He is my shield, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me, David said. And again, that's repeated in the Psalms. Psalm 84, we have sung today, for the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and a shield. The Lord will give grace, and He will give glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a great text of Scripture. The Lord is our protector. He is the one who is our provision maker. He is our shield. He is the one who stands by us. And my, this verse of Scripture tells us about the tender care of God toward His people. Have you ever doubted the tenderness of the Lord and His care in your life? For sure you have, as we all have. We've wondered, what is God doing in my life? Why has He allowed this to transpire? How come these circumstances have come to me? Why? And the disciples were no different. They doubted the Lord when they were in the boat in that very stormy sea. They went to wake the Lord up and they said to Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? Are you not interested, Lord, that we are ready to die here? They doubted. They doubted the Lord. Friends, you and I can be in that very same position. That word perish that is found in that question that they asked the Lord, it means to destroy. It's the same word that we get Apollyon from, another name for the devil, the great destroyer. So, Lord, do you not care that the great destroyer is ready to consume us? How could they have asked such a question? How could these disciples who knew who the Savior was, how could they have challenged the Lord in this way? The same way that you and I do it in our Christian life. We challenge God. We challenge Him sometimes more than once a day by our doubting, by our questioning. And there are certain ways we can question the Lord in saying, Lord, I need more information. Why has this happened in my life that I might learn from it and that I might educate myself spiritually? But there is another way of asking, Lord, it's unfair. Why have you allowed this to happen? And that's what the disciples were asking. Lord, it's not unfair. Do you not care that we're ready to die? Now, friends, let us be very, very careful that we do not challenge the Lord and His goodness in our life. We are to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be filled with care for nothing, the apostle said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the Lord says to us, He is our shield. He is our protection. David also knew this in Psalm 34, verse 7, when he said, The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. So David knew when he was fleeing from Saul and his enemies, the Philistines, he was in the Judean wilderness, but he said, God is my shield. He is my protector. He is encamping round about me, and there is no reason for me to be afraid. You know, the Lord said that the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they shall be delivered. All the animal kingdom is supposed to be afraid of us. During the time of the blackout, we had a generator, and so the generator was on, and then we lent it to a neighbor across the street to try to warm his house up a little bit in the midst of it all, and so there was some darkness in the house for a period of time, and my dear wife heard a noise in the kitchen, and she was certain that there was a little furry creature that was in the kitchen. And so she calls me from the car. So she's outside now. I wasn't home just at this moment. So she's outside. So I'm not just so sure how the fear of you and the dread of you shall happen when a little mouse is concerned. There was no mouse, by the way. It was just in the imagination of it all and hearing the creaking of the house as it was cooling and heating and so on. But it's interesting how the Lord has said that the very animal kingdom will have the fear of us upon them. Moses, in Deuteronomy 11 and 25, said, There is no man that is able to stand before you, the Lord said to him. You shall tread upon the ground to receive it. It shall be yours, because the Lord was their protection. In all these cases, it is not, friend, that the Lord simply puts up a shield around us, but it's that He is the shield Himself. That makes a world of difference, friend. The Lord God Himself is the one who says, I will protect you. I will be the one to keep you. He is not distant from us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, The Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against them. And our loving Lord is always watching over us. He is always taking care of our every circumstance, and He knows the way that we take. And when He has tried us, we will come forth as gold. If God be for us, friend, who then can be against us? Let us rest in Him and trust in the Lord in all our way and our going. The Lord was still there to protect, and He is still there, a shield to deflect all the terrorizing attacks of the evil one. And we need to walk close with Him. We need to know Him. And the more we walk close to the Lord, the more we will be protected by Him. And as we think and stop and consider this, that the Lord is the one who is around us all the time, we're really stunned to silence. When we think that God is our great protector, we should breathe out continually prayers of thanksgiving. And this is the very word that the Lord gave to His servant Abram. And Abram faithfully obeyed His word. It's reason enough for us not to fear, because He is with us and we walk in the shadow of our Almighty Creator and our Redeemer and our King. But I wonder, friend, today, if you're not a Christian, if you're unsaved, you do not come under that same promise. That essential protection is not there for you. And what you need to do is to come under the protection of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and call out unto Him for salvation, that you will not perish, that you will not come under the power of Apollyon. Friend, that you will know the peace of God which passes all understanding, and God being for you a great protection. And then finally, the Lord is our provision. He says, and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield. And, as if anything else was needed, and thy exceeding great reward. God is our great provider. He is our provision. We have His presence. We know His protection. And He comes to us to supply all of our need. What actually does this mean when the Lord says, I am thy reward? Abram was not looking for his reward in the land of Canaan. That was a benefit he was going to receive by his generations after him. But he was not looking for that. He was not even looking for a son per se. He was not interested in enlarging his bank account. That was very clear. But it's not even heaven that a child of God is looking for, as much as we should be looking for the reward of God Himself. The reward of the Lord Himself, friend. That is at the very heart of it. That is at the key. And the Lord said, I, Jehovah, the Lord Himself, is the portion of His people. How can human lips proclaim the length and the breadth of such a phrase? I am thy reward. You cannot depend upon human exposition for this, friend. We will all be sorely dissatisfied and disappointed. And yet we know that this God is our God, and He has promised to supply all our need. The hymn writer put it this way: take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, a pledge of endless life above. Think of the reward that God is saying here about Himself, the reward of knowing who the Lord is. Can you remember, believer, before you were saved, what your thoughts were about God, about His Word, about these things that had to do with religion. Many, many perhaps being brought up in a Christian home would have had kind of generic thoughts of God. Well, I might believe there is a God, might believe in the Bible as the Word of God, but you didn't know the Lord yourself. You didn't have this understanding that the Lord was your possession, that you knew Him, you belonged to Him until the day you trusted in the Savior. Remember back to that moment in time. Remember back to that situation. Friend, if you're not brought up in a Christian home, you had no knowledge of these things, perhaps you even despised the thought of God and religion and faith, until one day the Lord arrested you. He got hold of you. And your heart was opened, your spiritual eyes were opened, and now you see, and now you know Him, and you possess the Lord as your Redeemer. He is your reward. But we also have the reward not just of knowing Him, but of loving God. David said in Psalm 18:1, I love the Lord because He has heard my prayer. And we love Him, John says, because He first loved us. And you know, man cannot know love apart from God, apart from the Lord's grace. The Lord said, I am thy exceeding great reward. No one has to convince you, friend, that you love Him. You love Him from your heart and you know it. It's one of the great evidences that you are truly a child of God. If in your soul you can say, yes, I know that I love Him. To think that the God of heaven and earth is my eternal reward, Himself. Not what He has made, not what He can provide, but the living God Himself. It is a wonder of wonders that we cannot understand. I love my Master. I will not go out free. And this God is our God forever and forever. But we have also the reward of knowing that the Lord loves me far more than I would ever be able to love Him. He has loved us, friend, with an everlasting love. And therefore, Jeremiah said, with loving kindnesses have I drawn thee. The Lord has drawn us to Himself. This is a high thought, and I cannot attain unto it. And oh, dear friend, I pray that you would come to know in a deeper way that love of God. Mr. Spurgeon wrote it this way. He said, for God to think of me is something. For Him to pity me is more. For Him to help me practically is more still. But for Him to love me, this is the greatest wonder of all, that I can love Him because He first loves me. Friend, where does that leave you? In your relationship with God over this past year, have you grown in your fellowship with Him? Have you grown in your love and obedience to Him? Or do you have to say that something is blocking the sunlight of the Lord coming into my spiritual life? Well, let us remove that something and put it under the cross and confess that sin and pray that the Lord will stir up our hearts that we might come to drink in the great spiritual reward that the Lord is for us, because that is a reward that is infinite and eternal, a reward that will never be consumed. It will never be given away. The possession that we have of life is eternal life. It is everlasting life. And it is a satisfying reward that the living God gives to us. Friend, we can never and should never be disappointed in what the Lord has done for us. And so I want you to think over this past year, how has God been for you a provision? How has He been a protection? How have you known His presence? And as we enumerate those things, it will cause us to give thanks unto Him from our hearts. Fear not, people, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.